welcome to the Crime Maven podcast. My name is Ashley, and today's case is on the Russian doll man, Anatoly Moskvin. This case is a little darker than what I normally cover, so there is a content warning. Feel free to click away if you need to, and we'll be back next week with another case, or you can go check out my previous cases. First, we are going to explore Moskvin's early life, what led up to his fascination with the dead, and we'll move into the investigation and the aftermath of his arrest, as well as diving into the more psychological aspects of this case, because a lot of people tend to see him as just a cruel man who created this menagerie of corpses, when in fact he was just struggling mentally. So first, we'll start with his early life. Anatoly Moskvin was born on September 1st of 1966 in Russia's fifth largest city, Nizhny Novgorod. He was said to be quiet, soft-mannered, and he says that he spent most of his childhood wandering through cemeteries near his home. He cites that his first experience with death was when he was 11, when he was forced to attend a funeral of a local girl who was also around the same age. Here, he was made to kiss the girl's forehead as a sign of respect, but the memory remained fixated in his mind well into his adulthood. Otherwise, he went on to lead an ordinary life as a child. As an adult, he would become more detached and sought refuge in his studies instead. He never went on to marry or date anyone, and he preferred to live with his parents, who were often out of town and away from their shared home, which is an important aspect of why he was able to get away with his extracurriculars well into how long it ended up being. His voracity for learning, however, allowed him to make a name for himself within academic circles. Colleagues remember him now as an eclectic genius. He first pursued a degree in philology, which is the study of written and oral history, at Moscow State University. Here he unabashedly explored his interests in death, cemeteries, burials, and the occult, which were all covered under the study of Celtic history and folklore. He is also always grinding away at something, and in later investigations, it was found that he had over 60,000 documents in his personal library alone that encompass these topics that he studied. He is also a polyglot, someone who speaks many languages, and he knew 13. He also went to work at the Institute of Foreign Languages and later gave lectures at Nizhny Novgorod Linguistics University. He went on to write several books, and during slower periods of his career, he worked as a journalist, regularly publishing with local newspapers. Some of his more eccentric work focused on accurately listing more than 700 corpses across 40 cemeteries in the region of Nizhny Novgorod Oblast, spanning from 2005 until 2007. Here he said that he spent every day walking nearly 20 miles every day, and at night he'd sleep on haystacks or in abandoned barns. He also said that he drank water from puddles that had collected on the roadside, and one time he even slept in a coffin that had been prepared for a funeral the following day. These adventures were recorded and given to Alexei Yazin, the editor of a publication titled Necrologies. However, he has not released the work, stating that in retrospect, the literature is priceless. From 2006 until 2007, he also worked as a freelance correspondent once again, and this time it was for the Nizhny Novgorod Worker, where his father is also said to have worked. In 2008, Moskvin went on to publish a series of articles dedicated to that time he spent traversing the local cemeteries. Next, we are going to look into what investigators found upon his arrest, and lastly go into the aftermath of that and the deeper involvement of his mental illness and how that played out in his choices before all this. Suspicions were difficult to diffuse when it was discovered that nearly 30 gravesites had been disturbed in the area surrounding Moskvin's home. Soon, everyone couldn't help but acknowledge that only one person held so much interest in the dead and the cemeteries where they resided. So on November 2nd, 2011, Anatoly was arrested for the charge of grave desecrations, but this was just the beginning of the deep and dark reality that Moskvin found himself in. Amongst the bookworm's clutter were the corpses he'd exhumed. They were seated on shelves and on sofas in multiple rooms around the house. Police found notes on how to create the dolls, maps of the cemeteries with marked placements of disturbed graves, as well as photographic and video evidence of opened grave sites. However, none of this video or photo evidence could be connected to the bodies within the house. In total, 26 bodies were discovered in his home, although initial reports stated he'd taken 29. All were female, ranging in age from 3 to 25. He's believed to have desecrated over 150 graves after investigators found numerous mementos from other grave sites like nameplates around Moskvin's home. He was also accused of hate crimes when it was discovered that he defaced grave sites of Muslims in the area, but these charges were later dropped during the trial. After his arrest, Moskvin was found psychologically impaired by paranoid schizophrenia. On May 25, 2012, he was found unfit to stand trial by a district court and was sentenced instead to coercive medical measures without appeal. He has since remained in psychiatric care with regular intervals where he is tested to see if he is still incompetent. In 2019, the facility where he's been since his trial ended petitioned for Moskvin to be released, deeming him safe enough for home care. However, testing by court-appointed officials found the exact opposite and refused his removal. The facility then dropped their proceedings. Now we're going to take a look at his background and what led him to believing that he needed to create these dolls, because it is deeper than him just digging up bodies and creating dolls. There is something behind it, something that led to him believing that he could do it first. Second, that it was something that would benefit his life in any way. And as we look deeper, there's all sorts of other things that made him feel like this was a normal thing that he could do. Through his educational expeditions, Moskvin found tales of ancient druids performing black magic that would bring the dead back to life. He said he felt deep sympathy for the deceased children and believed that he could bring them back to life. He trusted that his educational studies had readied him enough so that he could communicate with the dead. Later, when asked about how he chose his victims, he replied that he would read obituaries until one really spoke to him. He'd then visit the cemetery and sleep on that gravesite like the druids he'd read about. So these druids would sleep on the gravesite. They would wait for the spirit of the child to speak to them and say, "I want to be revived. I don't want to be here anymore." Or maybe they would say the opposite. "This child's spirit has moved on. They want to stay here. They don't want to be revived." So this is what Anatoly would do, is he would visit the gravesite, he would sleep on it, and he would listen to the spirits. He believed staying there would allow the spirit to tell him if the child wished to be resurrected. Moskvin admits to doing this for more than 20 years before his arrest. He reiterates that he would never remove a body unless he got approval from the spirit beforehand. However, as he aged, it became more difficult for him to sleep on the ground. So now he'd carry the bodies home where he could rest beside them in comfort. He stated that he hoped the spirits would also be more willing to communicate within the confines of a welcoming home rather than in the cemetery, as well as giving him the chance to be able to hear them better since they wouldn't be underground anymore. After the bodies were removed from the ground, he began a mummification process using salt and baking soda. He then allowed them to dry out in secure locations away from his home until he deemed them fit for display. Once they were dried, he'd bring them home and make them appear more doll-like, all of which he believed would allow these bodies to remain in optimal condition until he was able to bring the children back to life. He feared that if they remained in their natural state, the spirits might not be pleased with their new law on life if they were forced to spend it in, quote, "decaying, ugly bodies," unquote. This meant filling the cavities and limbs with rags, wrapping them in linen cloths, and painting their faces with nail polish. He'd then dress them in children's clothes and brightly colored wigs. He'd then be able to display them on shelves and sofas around the house. Disguising the corpses in such a manner is believed to be the reason why his unusual behaviors went undiscovered for so long. Still, it is unclear if every doll contained full human remains. As for a direct motive, the closest investigators received was Moskvin's desire to have a child of his own, especially a daughter. However, when he attempted to adopt a young girl, he was denied his request due to a low income. His dreams of a family were also undermined by his overbearing parents, who were vehemently against him having a child of his own, and they were said to be overjoyed when his application was denied. So I don't know if it was made clear, but his parents were pretty overbearing, as I said. They were against him, like, basically living out his normal adult life. It seems that they had their claws in him and were pretty easy to, they were easily persuading him to make choices that aligned with their wants and desires instead of letting him do his own thing. And it probably reflects in how he was, he spent a lot of his time not at home, not with his family, but instead in cemeteries as a kid. And then to go to a funeral where he was expected to kiss the corpse, he was forced into that. It wasn't his choice. So it shows that he is easily persuaded by other people, manipulated by them to do these things, and it probably made way for the later choices in his life where, again, he wanted to adopt a child of his own, build a family of his own, but his parents were completely against him. And we all know that making choices without the support of loved ones often makes our life harder. It makes our dreams seem less important. It makes us less likely to strive and achieve those goals. And so it makes sense that his parents would be that way, but also, they would be gone for long periods of time, leaving him alone. So they wanted him to be alone, but then they also would leave him by himself. So I feel like that's a pretty important part in the story, just his background and kind of where he came from and how his behaviors and actions and thoughts and beliefs were kind of shaped by the people around him. And I don't want that to come across as me saying, look, his parents were pretty bad to him and he was just looking for an outlet, some way of befriending other people without the fear of rejection, because he made all these choices on his own. Regardless of what was going on in his own mind, he still made these choices. But I think it helps in context to look at where these murderers, these mentally ill criminals come from. It's very helpful in trying to dissect why they made the choices they did. Later, investigators questioned his relationship with the dolls. He stated that they were not sexual objects, but instead he treated them as his very real children. He held birthday parties for each of them, celebrated holidays with them, sang songs, and even watched cartoons with them. So he had a very deep connection with these dolls. And it goes back to the mental side of it. For him, this was a normal outlet to get that companionship that he desperately wanted. But again, he didn't know how to go about it. For him, in his mind, it was normal to seek out these children, create them in his image that he wanted, and then to interact with them as if they were just normal people. In all, Anatoly Moskvin's tale is one shrouded by the dark cloud of mental illness, where he has been wholly consumed by his fears and regrets to the point where he can no longer differentiate between reality and this hellish dreamscape of schizophrenia that he found himself in. For Moskvin, he was creating a family, but for the families whose children were desecrated and disturbed, they only find frustration and sadness in this story. What was supposed to be a final resting place for their loved ones became a hunting ground for a very rare sort of predator. Thank you again for joining us here at the Crime Maven podcast. If these episodes are something that you're interested in hearing more from, please feel free to subscribe. We're also on Instagram under the Crime Maven. And if you have any case suggestions, that is the place to hit me up at. Again, thank you for joining us and have a wonderful day.